What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
You're listening to She Well Read.
Get ready to be part of a community that is dedicated to helping you become the most well-read version of yourself through reading.
On this show, we hope to bring people together through shared experiences and provide a platform that promotes reading as a source of self-care while increasing your knowledge on various topics.
Thanks for being here, and let's get on to the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another special edition mini-sode episode of She Well Read. I'm your host, Alana.
I'm Samra.
And today we are speaking with the author of Growing in the Gray, Miss Christian Cook. Welcome, Christian.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having
Round
me.
Round of applause.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on this show today and talking with us.
Of course. I'm really excited.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. We know about you. So tell our audience a little bit about yourself, because you have such an awesome backstory and I think it should be shared.
Thank you. Well, I guess I'll start off with saying I'm originally from the suburbs of Detroit. I grew up with a big family, but I was also like introverted when I was younger. So even though I like had a lot of cousins and a lot of siblings, I was always like trying to like kind of create my own world in a sense. Like I'll like go off and play by myself, go off writing by myself. I always knew that I wanted to like kind of create. So after like growing up and knowing that my number one goal, no matter what I wanted to do, was I was like, okay, I need to get out of Michigan no matter what. I have to go to a bigger city and kind of like recreate myself and be like the person I really wanted to be. And I ended up choosing Chicago, actually, which wasn't my original plan, but I've been here for about 8 years now. So I guess it kind of worked out in the end. I originally went to Chicago to go to Columbia College Chicago, started off as a journalism major, kind of scrapped that after my first semester of college. I knew I wanted to write and tell stories, but not like factual stories. I'm like, okay, it's time for me to be creative. And that kind of, those type of ideas got shot down a lot in my like hard hitting news classes that I took while I was there. So from there, I switched to PR, where I still got to kind of tell stories and be creative, but I didn't know I had the personality for PR at first, because at home I was quiet. But after switching sceneries, it kind of felt like I could break out of my shell a little bit more, be myself. And I really felt like college was the time for me to really create the woman that I wanted to be. So I was like pretty much forever grateful for that experience. And all of my experiences from kind of feeling like a fish out of water at first, moving to a new city, meeting new people, some good, some bad, some the worst. And then talking about like all the experiences that I had, like with work, school, boys, friends who are not really my friends, all of that really inspired me to write the book Growing in the Gray.
I related to so much what you just said of coming from a bigger family, but being more introverted, like finding those moments where you didn't have to be surrounded by so many people and can do stuff for yourself and like kind of those safe spaces for your own peace of mind. Yes. So definitely related to that. And then also moving to a new city for school and then going through all of the hurdles that you just talked about. I was like, yep. Every single one of them. So very relatable content for that. And so that's really awesome that it inspired your book, Growing in the Gray. Would you say that you feel the main character, the protagonist, is kind of a reflection of yourself?
100%. So while I was writing this book specifically, I wanted to create a character that I don't feel like I saw before in any medium, whether that was TV, movies, or books. And I wanted to write a character where you kind of get to really see the inner workings of her mind, where a lot of stories, I feel like these days, they're very dialogue focused, which I wanted to also create strong dialogue. But with any story, I feel like a lot of the story is really within that monologue of the character, the way they think, why they do what they do, and almost like the other characters around her support her personality. Like, if you think about it, you are the way you are, kind of, not just because of you, but your family, your friends, your environment, all of those have a heavy impact on the person that you become. So I did pick two sceneries that I was comfortable with describing. So we have Michigan and Chicago in the book, which are important to me because those are two sceneries that I was able to easily describe. And Krista Clark, she's very, like, she just really lives in her own mind. So you can kind of see, like, a character who's struggling to be who she wants to be, but it's hard for her to kind of figure out who that is. So she's questioning herself through her obstacles, through her daily life choices. And I felt like that a lot when I was younger. I feel like now, as an adult, in my mid-20s, I feel more confident in who I am as a person in total, where I was wanting to be confident or thinking about confidence while I was younger.
That is so real. Wow. And I've just been taking notes over here because I'm just like, I, like Alana, relate to a lot of what you're saying. And the idea of someone who is in their head a lot and isn't necessarily what the world wants you to be, all those things you mentioned, like being more introverted and just creating your own world that you feel comfortable in, and understanding who you are in your world, I think is so important when it comes to creating that future self who is everything that you knew you could be even as a young girl, but just didn't know how to embody that. And I feel like confidence is such a big part of owning who you really are. And so I think that it's so great that you were able to convey that through the character. And I guess I want to know, is there a happy ending? Like, does she get to become the girl that she wanted to be? Or is this kind of more of the process of finding that person?
That's a really good question. I feel like for this book specifically, because this is supposed to be a series of her, it's either going to be a four-part series of the freshman year to senior year of college, or that freshman year to like that first year post-grad, which was rough. Like, that was like one time period of my life where I kind of wish I had like a roadmap, because I'm like, I thought everything was going to be smooth sailing, and that first year was the trenches. Like, I just cannot get over that. Glad that part of my life is over. I personally feel like in this book specifically, you get like shimmers of light for Krista along the path, where it's not like this like classic fairy tale big beam of light, happy ending. You kind of just see her have her moments of glow where she's like piecing things together and she's kind of questioning herself a little less, and she begins to use her voice more, like all throughout the book, where she kind of feels like she's challenged in the city of Chicago, being not from here and not really understanding the politics of the city, where especially like the Black experience is not the same Black experience in each city. That's another thing I learned more as I began to travel more, where certain cities are a little bit more breathable than others. And she's kind of picking up on these cues as she was like, okay, this is a diverse city, everyone lives here, but before I even moved to Chicago, I didn't know Chicago was the most segregated city in America. I did not know that until I kind of was just like going throughout different parts. And I'm like, why am I the only Black person within like, it feels like 5 miles of this area? So there's a lot of beauty that she kind of figures out too. She's also kind of deciding what type of man does she really even want to date. Yes, she has a love interest in the book, but she's like, I don't really know about this guy. I'm just going to kind of feel it out because he's showing interest in me. I'm going to try to show some back, see where this goes. So we kind of see her navigate that classic situationship where we don't really want that to be that for her. But how does she grow through that and learn the lessons through that too? And I wanted to also tell like a story that wasn't tied up in a neat bow, because life isn't always like that.
I love that. I'm so happy you brought that up. The idea that the Black experience is different from city to city. It's so true. I have family who live in Minnesota, and they're basically the Midwest, and things are, mm-hmm. you know, they had a lot going on last summer, and I got to see the trauma that my cousins were facing, and just like, I guess the loss of innocence that comes with aging, and especially that freshman year of college. It's like so many experiences that are brand new and exciting, and you just want to try everything. And I know that my advice to all my younger, you know, college going cousins and things like that was just try everything once, which I don't know if that's always the best, because I feel like I was in a situationship my freshman year, and I was going along with things just because I wanted to like be in a thing, in a situationship. And it led to some serious like negative consequences that I didn't even realize I was going to endure or experience.
It's weird. I can completely understand.
It's just like you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then after those type of situations are over, you kind of feel like you got like spat out of a well or something. It's like, what was that? What was I doing? Like, what even was that experience? So she kind of talks, Krista talks a little bit about that in the book too. But even in the book too, we have like other characters, like her sister's Valentina. She feels lost. Valentina is her big sister. She dropped out of college. Valentina's 23 in the book. She's back at home, living at home, and she's like, you know what? I need to figure out what I'm doing with my life. I hate where I am, but I don't know where I want to go. So then you kind of see her go on a backpack excursion through Europe, because she's like, I don't want to be at home with dad because he's a control freak. Mom is just like aloof. She's like a stay-at-home mom. And she's like, you know what, Krista, at least you know what you want to be, because Krista in the book wants to be an art curator. And you have a plan. And even the little sister, whose goal is just to be popular in high school, she's like, you know what? Everybody kind of has like their space. I need to figure out and do my own thing. So Valentina is another character that people kind of gravitate towards, because college isn't for everyone. It just so happens to be the path for me, and I'm grateful that it was, because where I'm from, like, they really champion like entrepreneurship, like Detroit hustles harder. And I'm like, okay, but I don't think that's going to be for me right now. What can I do in the meantime before I might want to be my own entity? So we, like, there's a lot of things that are being, like, discussed in the book. I'm trying to, like, think about so many different scenes that I discuss. And even Krista, she wants to be an art curator. Like, how does, like, a young girl from, like, a middle-class family, like, in these type of roles, they're all, like, old money people. And she's like, you know what? I think I bit off more than I can chew. I don't understand the world that I'm trying to get into. And you just see her stumble through each experience. But she kind of takes it like a champ. Even though she's kind of anxious and she's questioning herself, she'll still dive into it anyway. She'll, like, just hop on a moving train. And that's one thing that I do in real life.
That's a very admirable quality to have, I think. I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, fake it till you make it, but to trust that gut instinct that tells you to jump before you even feel ready, before you've even had a chance to flesh something out, is really brave. And that is something that doesn't get celebrated enough. I feel like so many people look at you when you don't have that plan and you just kind of have the idea of like what I know I'm meant to be doing. When you're taking a step and you don't have the next six steps after the step that you want to take ready to go, people are like, I don't know about that. I don't think you can do that. And like you said, coming from a background where you're trying to get into an industry that isn't meant for people like you, it wasn't built that way, and you don't have contacts that look like you, and you can't get a mentor because everybody, you know, it's just like a whole family thing. Like, everybody knows everybody. I think that you have to be brave in those situations, because you will most likely be the first, the FOD, like we talk about in Elaine Welteroth's book. That was our second season. And it's called More Than Enough, but she talks about being first only different. And it's just basically when it's all on your shoulders in a way. Yes. Like, you have to not only be the first Black person in that space or minority in that space, but also what you do is going to reflect on everyone else that comes after you that looks like you, because this is the only representation that there is at that moment. And so I think that that's something that you don't realize how powerful it is when you're in the moment, because like you said, you're tripping and you're falling a lot. But to someone who is removed from that and is maybe like a young girl looking up to you, they're only seeing the successes. They trip and fall too. So like that only makes you more relatable.
Oh, you saying that really just like resonated a lot, because I actually did a speaking engagement at my college. I went to Columbia College, Chicago, and that was my first speaking engagement ever. So I was kind of nervous, and there was another Black girl in the class, like just like congratulating me and telling me how like she looked like seeing another Black woman in the space. And when she called me a Black woman, that kind of meant a lot to me, because I sometimes still call myself a girl. I'm like, no, Christian, you're 25 now. You are a woman. They're looking up to you, even though you were just in this seat like 3 or 4 years ago. So it was just a trippy moment, that for sure.
No, that's been me recently. I've been like, wow, sis, you're really 25. Like, it's such a big difference from like your like earlier 20s. You're such a completely yes. different person, even though you're still in your 20s. Like mid-20s is so different. Like no one could have prepared me how different this yes. was going to be. But I love how you talk about that of like of like being called a Black woman and not a Black girl anymore. Like I didn't realize how much of a difference that was until you said it and like put it in that instance. And I was like, wow, no, those are two completely different things. And Timmer and I, you know, we're both more creatives who come from backgrounds of parents of like, you know, they want you to go down that traditional route, like go to mm-hmm. college, get a steady job, work that job for 20, 30 years, and then retire. And like the cycle just continues of just, you know, that sense of stability, because it's like, okay, at least you were able to get there and not think and dream bigger. Not to say that they didn't, but it's just mm-hmm. our think and dream bigger is so different from theirs. And being the first to do that, it's really nice when you have someone who is in your corner going down the exact same journey that you are, to be able to have that type of representation and see that. So that's why I love books like this and authors like this, because it's so important. And I think people miss that a lot, of just how important it is. And, you know, even yourself, like establishing yourself in this industry, like could you talk a little bit about that too?
That has been something that I've continuously been like tumbling through, actually, where as a writer, I felt like in the early stages, before I knew I wanted to be an author, I would just do like freelance work, maybe submit different stories that I would find different competitions for from time. And one day I just looked at a collection of all of my work. I'm like, you can actually write a book if you take the time to weave all the stories together. But a lot of what I was taught was more focusing on the talent portion and not really like the business side of the industry. And there's so many like nuances and politics that you have to go through that I kind of had to learn myself along the way, which that's another reason why having a mentor, a coach, someone that could just pass you along resources or even just encourage you on days where you feel like you're hitting a brick wall is extremely important. So I'm happy that I have that now. I can have someone I can lean on. I'm like, do you know anyone that works here? Because even though I do write, I also work in PR. So I do feel comfortable just shooting someone an email or a pitch about myself, which is kind of how I got here today. And just saying, hey, just wanted to introduce you to who I am, what I do. Would you be interested in having a discussion or a chat or something? So, but a lot of writers, like I said, were naturally introverted. You tell someone who isn't comfortable with doing something like that, they'll like start blushing, they'll get nervous. The email won't sound cohesive. And that's another thing that I'm learning too. It's just having the small right things will get you one step closer to where you want to be. I do see myself possibly going in a different route of storytelling as the series continues. That's something that I'm playing with a lot of ideas right now, but the industry is brutal if you don't know the right people and know how to market yourself correctly, like what type of writer you want to be. I don't consider myself a cookie cutter author who's on Instagram like gardening and baking cookies and holding up their book and smiling. Like, that's not me. So even when my publishers found my Instagram, I think they maybe felt a little uncomfortable. I'm like, what's wrong with my personal page? I don't know. Which is nothing. It's just, that's not who I am. I'm always going to want to be me and represent myself as authentically as possible.
Okay, so you were talking about, you know, being in the industry and how it's kind of like those small little things get you to those bigger things. And that's like, I think that's something, especially in this generation where you could go viral off of one TikTok. Mm-hmm. Our audience knows how obsessed I am with TikTok, so it's no wonder I'm making this reference. But that one viral video can take off and it's like you turn into an instant success overnight. And I think it gets lost of how that does not happen to everyone and it's not something mm-hmm. that's guaranteed. And sometimes you are going to have to do that little bit of legwork in order to get to where you're trying to be. And just because you don't take off and become this viral sensation, like, and you know, in this space, I'm thinking like Colleen Hoover, like it may seem right now because her books are doing like stupid well, that mm-hmm. that's what happened. Like she took off overnight, but I'm sure authors like Colleen Hoover had to do that legwork. And now like she's kind of seeing the fruits of her labor and, you know, being really popular and books flying off the shelves. So I think that that's a really good point of like, it takes those little baby steps sometimes to be able to get to the bigger picture. And especially I feel like, and you know, cut me off if I'm wrong, but especially as a minority in this space and trying to get your voice heard the way you want it heard, I really like how you mentioned about, you know, the publishers looking at your Instagram and being like, I don't know if this is exactly what we're trying to portray. And it's something Samra mentioned in one of our previous episodes where it's like, okay, this might not be a fit for you, but it will be for someone else. And maybe it's not for you to understand or for you to get. So I'm sure, and you know, if you have an experience like this, I'd love to hear about it, of like something where that happened, where it's like, you know, this could be a great opportunity, but I don't think this is a good fit. Do you have any experiences like that?
Yes, I want to kind of first start off with the portion where you mentioned not being an overnight success. Kind of beat myself up over time when I was younger because I always thought that I would get like famous when, like, you always see like teens get famous. I'm like, okay, that's what I want to do. So when I kind of kept going and I'm like, okay, nothing is happening yet. I'm really confused. And I didn't write for a while, actually, because after a while, some of my stories were actually getting denied. But I also had to think, now looking back at that experience as being like late teens, early 20s, I was submitting to a lot of white-owned publications where they were like, we really enjoyed your writing, but this isn't a good fit for us. So it would get denied. And even like really like popular sites where the content could get a little bit more salacious, a little bit more fun, it didn't have to be kind of like When Harry Met Sally type of situations, though my stories are still getting denied too from those places. So I was like, you know what? I'll just make my own website. So that's when Crafted by Christian came about, and I did monthly journal excerpts, raw, unedited, and put them on my site, built my own email newsletter, and people were really digging into it. And I wanted to keep people's interest before this book came out specifically so they can see the progression of my writing. Like, you know what? This is what I wrote when I was in 2016, just a sophomore in college. This is my style. And people even still liked that. So I'm just like, I wonder if I knew about different publications or different trade journals or whatever the case may be, where I could be from now. Sometimes it's not, like I said, it's not the talent, it's the marketing, the resources, and what you know. Now, being authentic is extremely important to me. That probably will even trumps the artwork itself, because I'm like, I don't want to be in a space where I can't be myself, because me being myself could speak to someone who either feels like they're similar to me, been in a similar situation. So if I'm covering up who I am, I can't connect with the audience I'm really supposed to connect to. And that's where I do light up in situations where there's been certain interviews where I'm like, okay, so this feels a little uncomfortable. I'm just going to kind of answer these questions and I can't wait till this over. It's over. And then there are certain situations where I feel like I'm having an open dialogue. I'm really speaking my truth and going through specifically discussing the characters I write. Because one of my writing styles, I would say, is the plot is always simple, but the characters are very complex. And I do that on purpose because I feel like I'm not a person that could really be put in a box. And that also is hard for people to feel like they try to market me. So it's like, okay, she does write. She's a Black girl. She's also an author, but she's a little alternative. So like, who do we pitch her to? How do we do this? I've had so many different conversations that they're like, we know what, we don't really know where to place you. So I do a lot of my pitching myself. I just find different mediums where I feel like, you know what, this seems like this could work. Let me just put myself out there. So me just being comfortable to being able to do that on my own too also helps.
That's huge. Wow. I mean, this is just inspiration for any writer. And I feel like at this point, you got to drop the link to your masterclass on how to pitch yourself, because I know me and Alana, we are trying to pitch ourselves to the different authors that we read the books of. And so It's hard. It's hard when you don't get that reply back and you have to reply again and then you reply again and you're like, well, am I nagging them? Should I just stop? And I don't know. It's like a constant battle. And so I don't know. I would take the class. That's all I'm saying. I would pay for it. You should probably, you know, maybe. Okay, y'all. Pitching coming soon.
You heard it here first.
She's launching her master class. It's a collab with you. Let me stop.
Oh, I'm so weak.
I wanted to throw out a lighthearted question really quick, because we've been getting pretty deep. Could you describe your writing style in 3 words?
I would say witty, contemporary.
Okay.
And this is a hard one. Witty, contemporary, and like thoughtful. So you can really see, even though this is what I feel like with
like
fiction
books specifically. Like intentional or thoughtful?
Yes, intentional, thoughtful, intentional. Intentional is a better word. Where in contemporary fiction novels, you typically get a very, how can I say this? Because I've been reading a lot before I even wrote my own book. I feel like in old fiction, the classic American novels, you get very strong prose where it's just like, it's not just something that someone just kind of threw together. With newer books, I'm noticing that the story may sound interesting, but the prose specifically is a little weaker. And I wanted to mix having a contemporary tale that's still fresh and fun, but also I kind of mix really strong prose. You kind of see me playing with a little poetry, a little bit in there. I wanted just to mix all of them together because I have an appreciation for all of those writing styles.
It's giving very much, I don't color in the lines. You can't keep me in a box. And I think that's everything that we try to celebrate, as she well read. Honestly, I'd love to do a season on your book, even if it's just a mini season or something, because I think a lot of the themes in the book relate to so much. I mean, it may have related to us more, I guess, when we were in college, because everything you've said about the character Krista Clark is just like me in college. And like, I feel like same with Alana and so many of our friends. Yep. We were all lost, confused, just figuring it out day by day. And, you know, we could probably go back and take some things and rewrite the story, but it just wouldn't be the same story. And who knows if we would still be besties, me and Lana, because there was a lot of ups and downs. And it's just a miracle we're here.
Yeah, like, yeah, Christian pointed out to us, like, we were like, oh, yeah, we've been friends for like 7 years now. And she was like, you know, they say if you've been friends for 7 years that you're going to be friends for the rest of your life. And we were like, you're right. We're stuck here. We're here.
It flew by. I'll say that. If y'all are in your early 20s, just know, cherish every moment. Living your life like the main character is the move. So just go with it. And don't be afraid to drop out of college and figure things out. Go backpacking. I think that if I had, you know, taken a few gap years, maybe my degree would be a little more intentional. I'll say that. Because I just was there and I just was like, well, I got to find something. And I ended up where I ended up. And I love, you know, I love, out of all the degrees I could have. No, I'm not going to lie. I would have done fashion. I would have done something artsy. I wouldn't have done business, I don't think. But there's a reason for everything. And like I said, I don't know if me and Alana would have this podcast. And but for all of y'all who still have that choice to make, just know that you can't rush the process. And there's nothing wrong with being in the figuring it out stage. And even if people younger than you or older than you have it figured out, like, I think that your path changes on the daily. And so whatever they have figured out tonight might change in the morning. And it's just like, that's life. We're just rolling with the punches. And I will say, like, I think that the TikTok generation, like, all of us younger people, our attention span isn't as short. And so I wonder if that's why the pros in the newer texts are weaker, is because we can't stomach an entire paragraph of description and things like that, which it's sad, but it's just interesting to see the way things evolve. Like, because I remember growing up, I used to hate all the descriptors and all the, you know, it's pretty words, but I would be like, can we get to the point? So it's just interesting to see what people like, what they resonate with. And I like that you are so authentic to yourself that you're like, well, this is not just one type of book. It's not like I'm just going to be writing one way. Like, this is, I'm a nuanced person and it's going to come out in everything I write. And so I'm just really interested. I feel like that would keep me on my toes, having different styles of writing, honestly. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on, like, the way the industry, writers, authors are, like, where do you think the industry's going? Because I know you said, sorry, I'm just, like, talking.
No.
I know you said, like, they want you to be, or maybe they don't want you to be, but there's, like, this type of writer, the influencer writer, that is very concerned about the aesthetic that they're bringing to the table. And there is sort of a writer aesthetic, and it's very, like, I know when it's I think dry. Of it, I think of, like, the tote bag and, yeah, and, like, the glasses and the pen and the sarcastic attitude. Like, it's a very, I feel like we can picture, like, a writer. And so do you want to see some more progress when it comes to, like, what people think of when it comes to writers? And I don't know, I just want to know your thoughts on that.
Yes, I feel like writers also should be seen as entertainers. That's something I find reading to be entertaining. And a lot of books often get turned into movies or shows. So to see, like, before I consider, that's another reason why I even tell people I like to just be referred to as a storyteller than just a writer, because I feel like I have so much more that, like, lives inside of me in different mediums that I do want to tap into the future. But like I said, I'm not that cookie cutter old school writer. And that's something that I didn't want to change. Of working in the field of PR, I get a lot of opportunities where you do see me at different like art galleries or different fashion shows, or just art in general inspires me. That's another reason why I chose to go to art school. So I think a lot of people were interested or even a little confused why I chose the path of writing specifically. They're like, you're always out, you're always doing things. But at night, that's where I kind of like dissect all my thoughts and go through my days and kind of plan out all types of different things. Like I use different styles of writing in the book, because that's if you opened up my journal, you'll see like long form paragraphs, and you'll see just random different sentences with arrows pointing to each other. And then some days I'm just writing lists of things I see, or maybe like a gratitude list, whatever the case may be. But life is like that. I can't think of even in each chapter could stand on its own. And that's how I kind of put the book together at first, where they were just short stories that I wrote at first. And I'm like, okay, so how can we get all of these to connect? So there are scenes within the book that I feel like stand so strong that you can see them play out in your mind, where there's the apartment hunting scene in the book where Krista is confused on why she's all the way on the north side of Chicago. She's like, I want to be downtown. I do not want to be up here with these stuffy people, with the dogs and the kids and the people who look like they have good credit and it came from like all this different type of life. And that's like a scene that stands on its own. And then they're at this party on the south side that gets shot up, and then they get a free bottle of Hennessy. And she's like, what's going on? Like, what is even happening in my life right now? Then you kind of just see her in Michigan over a riverbank, like going through her thoughts. Like each scene, like all scenes, like you will be like, what is this girl doing? Where is she going? But you are so invested in her that you're willing to kind of go through the tales and the stories and the ups and downs with her.
Ooh, I love it. I love it.
I love it too, because I feel like that's way more realistic. Yeah, it's way more realistic than the cookie cutter type of writing that we're used to. And I definitely feel like, especially being Black, as soon as you said they got a free bottle of Hennessy, I'm like, this is so on brand. Like, it just fits so well into the character that you're describing, that I'm falling in love with her without even like having read the book yet. And So no, I love that. And I think, like I said, we definitely need more in that. And so could you talk a little bit? I know you kind of hinted, well, not hinted, you told us this is going to be a series. Mm-hmm. And can you tell us a little bit more about where that series is growing and kind of how she's going to continue? I'm going to be really cheesy here. Growing in the gray.
Yes. I'm excited about the next one, because she kind of, at the end, she does kind of like come to this conclusion. She's like, you know what? I've been through all these experiences freshman year. I'm ready to like, she's literally ready to take sophomore year by storm. She's like, okay, yes, I had feelings for this guy, but I do want to be done with that, even though it's going to be hard for her to go through that. You know, when you want to leave somebody alone, but it's kind of hard. So we kind of will kind of see that. But you'll also see her really kind of get on her grind a little bit, because in this Growing in the Gray, she finally meets someone who owns an art gallery. He gives her her card, and she's like, oh my gosh, the moment that I've always wanted to happen has finally happened. He's like, when you get back to the city next year, hit me up. We'll see if you can get like an internship or something. So you see her go from, I want to get in this scene, I don't know how to get in this scene, and the moment, like her magical moment, her aha moment, it's happening for her. But even in that moment in the book too, you kind of see how when you have that aha moment, the moment you've been waiting for and you experience it around the wrong people, how they can rain on your parade. Where at the event specifically, one of her friends was trying to get a connection and an opportunity, but a bigger one happened for Krista. And we see how even in some of your greatest moments, they're not celebrated all the time by the people you think they need to be celebrated by most. So Krista's like, you know what? Not only do I may need to leave this guy alone, but do I need to make new friends this year too? I know, like, I just moved here and these are the only people I know, but I need to kind of expand my circle. So we get some new characters.
I'm so excited to dive in. But no, sophomore year, again, relate to that as well. I feel like you get the handle on it and you're like, okay, I run this, mm-hmm. but you're still a baby. And so there is the transition. I'm really excited. I'm just really shook because I feel like the whole art, trying to break into the art scene is very on brand. A lot of knows my struggle.
I was going to say, Samra is the main character. This book is about Samra.
Just call me Kristen.
So, no, that's so exciting. And I love that you're turning it into a series and not just like a one-part type of thing, because especially with characters like this where we don't see enough of them, like watching them evolve like thoughtfully, because I feel like sometimes when there's just like one book, it can feel kind of rushed. So I really like how you're taking the time to make this a true series and we really see this character develop fully, and who, I guess, whoever you're making her to be, because you are the author of this book. But I think it's going to be really cool to watch and like read.
Yes, the character's evolution is something that I'm thinking about the most, because once people get invested in a character, they kind of have hopes for that character. They get attached and they get connected. So while I'm writing it, I'm also writing it as a person who is reading this book, where it's just like, okay, I read Growing in the Gray. We got the bases. We get her family background. We kind of know how she thinks and why she thinks, but okay, that was that year. But also with evolution too, this is another thing that happens in books, movies, everything in real life. Certain characters don't evolve. You may not have known somebody 10 years and they're still doing the same shit that they were doing 10 years ago. And you're like, you're still on that. Like, haven't we gotten past that? But that's just how life goes. So in certain characters, I'm thinking some of these characters are based off people I have met. But like, it is important to kind of maybe even keep them along for the story to illustrate that no matter how much you grow and how much you may continue on and how much you may be willing to experiment and try new things, there are some people who just won't be.
And that's okay.
And that's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
I'm with Sam. I'm just like mind blown and like so fascinated and like invested.
So invested.
So kind of last question to kind of wrap us up here. I know you're working on Growing in the Gray and the Growing in the Gray series. Do you have any other projects going on by chance, or anything else you think you might have in the works in the future?
That's something that I do continuously think about, where I know that if I didn't create anything else in my life, that this 4 or 5 book series would be a body of work that I'll probably be proud of until my hair is gray. Like, that's something where I'm just like, I did that and I loved it. And as my life continues to evolve and change, I do think, do I want to write an adult fiction book, or do I ever want to do something, just something completely different that I haven't thought of? Do I want to be behind the scenes and maybe not be the person that's creating, but maybe creative directing? I think about these things a lot as my career kind of continues to grow. And I'm like, do I ever want to step out of corporate 100% and just go 100% pour into my art? So these are questions that I've been playing with for a while. I know in college specifically, I did say I did want to be corporate at least 3 to 5 years, get some experience, get my name out there. And a lot of my corporate experience has helped me with my artistry. So that's another reason why I'm just like, well, if I keep growing NPR and knowing more people, it can always pour into each other. And then there's days where I feel like I'm just completely drained, where I'm like, you know what? I wonder what it would be like if I could just create 100%. What would my life look like? I'm grateful for all my opportunities. I'm grateful for where I am now. But I do see myself speaking more, and I'm like, there's a possibility I could be an adjunct professor in the fall of 2023. So after I did my speaking engagement at my college, they were like, do you possibly want to teach a class? I'm like, Sure. Let's see if I could do that. Why not?
It's giving very on brand for you.
Yeah, I was like, I would take that class. Like, I'd be front row. So that is very on brand. And I, if you're still hesitating thinking about it, this is your sign to do it. I think we can speak for both of us. We're telling you to do it.
Yes! Not me talking about a master class and you're about to be a whole professor.
Right!
A period.
No, that's amazing. Oh my gosh. Well, Christian, I know I speak for both of us. Again, we said we've had so much fun having you on the show today. Thank you for coming to speak with us and our audience. And please let us know and let our audience know everywhere that we could find you, support you, uplift you, just all the things.
Well, I just want to say I had a lot of fun with you guys today on your show, too. Thanks for having me. You can go to craftedbychristian.com and subscribe to my newsletter. You can get the book on Amazon and barnesandnoble.com. It's spilling to some stores throughout the country right now. I know specifically in Chicago, it's at Madison Street Books. And it's also at Sam Meyer's Bookstore. And New York is at Book Culture New York, which at their 112th Street location. And in Detroit, it's at the Wayne State University Bookstore.
Amazing. Awesome. Support local bookstores. Can you speak to Amazon and authors? Do you get any money from that?
Yes. So a lot of author success, too, does come from Amazon, which people don't think. They like, how much gets cut? Well, Amazon is a great resource, too, because your reviews. Also, if you buy the book, please leave your reviews on Amazon. That's really, really important.
That's great to know. Will do. So if I do end up having to buy my bookstore on Amazon ever, or book on Amazon ever, maybe not this one, but just, you know, if I won't feel as bad. I'll just write a review.
Yes, the reviews are extremely important.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Christian. Again, we will have all of the links to all the things we've talked about today in the episode description and the episode notes. Thank you, all my baddies, for tuning in per usual and supporting and uplifting us. We will see y'all next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.